And welcome to another edition of Two Steps Ahead podcast, encouraging you to take your passion, make it happen, let yourself be great. I'm Son Edom. On the show, I'm going to start out talking about the value of an education, and then from there, maybe get into critical thinking. And then if we have time, I'm going to discuss how to avoid peer pressure and maybe control our anger. But we'll see how far we get because there might be a start. We never know where we're going to end up because this whole thing is a journey and not a destination. So welcome to the ride. So education, is it important to you? Do you value an education? Do you think it's important? Well, let's discuss some of the benefits to an education. Now, most of the time when I talk education here, I'm referring to a college education. However, you can replace university or college with trade school or even self-education, but it also depends on what you want to be in life and how successful you want to be, what your dreams, your goals, and aspirations are, what your journey is going to be. For example, if you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a lawyer, if you want to be a teacher, educator, you have to go to college or university and get a degree. That's just what society here in America demands. You have to have schooling. So therefore, you'd have to go to college or university and get a degree and then go from there. You might also have to take some certifications and other type of standardized testings, maybe your boards, if you're in medicine, right? Another exam. So there are reasons and things that you have to do and accomplish in the campus of education and academia, whether online or in school, that requires you to go to school. So keep that in mind as we talk about that. But again, it doesn't necessarily refer to having to go to campus or to college university setting for education in general. But let's take a look at what going to college can do for you. Getting an education, let's just put it that way. Getting an education can do for you. First and foremost, you can earn more money. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, workers with a post-secondary degree typically earn more than those with just a high school education. If you have an AA, a two-year degree from a community college, for example, you can make on the average $1,000 more per week. If you have a bachelor's degree, you can earn on the average $1,400 more per week. And then a master's degree, $1,700 more per week, and so on. So depending on what you're doing and where you're at, you can make more money with a degree than without. Now, granted, there are people who are uneducated that don't have a college degree that make a lot of money. There's a lot of people that have jobs that can make significantly more money if they stayed in that profession, maybe construction or maybe some sort of specialized industry, maybe security, for example, where you're maybe a bodyguard to celebrities, you know. Things that don't require an education, maybe police. Talked to a sheriff's recruiter one time, and he told me to tell students that if they want to be in law enforcement, getting a degree is a good thing, but you don't need one. But if you get a degree, don't get a degree in criminal justice, for example. Get a degree in English because you have to write a lot of reports. And so writing is important. Being able to write well, write your reports, communicate thoughts clearly. So that was his suggestion because at the academy, they will teach everything you know about law enforcement. So criminal justice and those type of classes aren't necessary. In fact, they might not be encouraged, but writing's important. And we'll get to that more in a little bit. But again, you can earn more money if you are a teacher and you have more degrees or maybe more educational credits, I think they call them, the more money you make. Years experience plus education equals money. If you are obviously in the nursing field, your position as a CNA, which I think is the kind of the lowest level. I don't even think you need an education necessarily for that, but it's usually a lower pay, hourly pay. And then you have LVN, LPN, eventually an RN, and then maybe you go from there. And so an RN, I believe, is like a bachelor's level degree for registered nursing, right? Anyways, it's higher up, more education than a CNA, LVN, LPN, and so on. Speaking of which, do they have candy stripers anymore? Or did they go out with the 80s? But you can earn more money. With that comes the opportunity for the increased chance of employment. I mean, did you ever think about that? You get a college degree, now you have an increased chance of employment. I started out, I went to trade school, broadcasting school, Hollywood Boulevard, on the corner of Hollywood and Highland. It was a big bank building back in the day. And this was before the glamour of Hollywood returned to Hollywood and Highland. And got my broadcasting school education done at a trade school, which was actually very beneficial in the long run, because I learned a lot there from insiders, professionals in the business. In fact, I would have teacher by day, DJ at night. Sheila Gale was one of them. I'd call her on a radio show. So got to learn a lot. Got to meet insiders, networking. Another thing we're going to talk about here shortly. But I also went on to get a bachelor's degree, eventually a master's degree. And as the radio business started to kind of shrink because you have automation, computers taking over things, no longer did you have to sit and have somebody at the control board playing music. In fact, my first job in Iowa, when I got there, we were playing CDs, but we were slowly turning over to computers. And then computer automation can run radio stations without a DJ sitting there. Syndication, one show on many stations. So it shrunk the jobs available in the radio business. So I went to school, got a master's degree, and opened up a door in education at the college level, community college level. And so been able to do that. So it increased my chance of employment. And without that master's degree, I would not be able to teach at a community college. And of course, if I want to get a PhD, then I might be able to teach at a university. Don't know if I want to do that. If you want to teach at a university, you need a PhD or an EdD or some sort of doctorate, right? And of course, if you're going into the doctor profession, if you're going into the lawyer profession, maybe if you're into financing. So there are things, careers that you need to have education. But also with that education, if you decide to just go in this route, you never know what might come up down the road. Expand your opportunities. A college degree can give you some extra credentials to land a dream job, to take over a business. Like for me, to get into education. You never know what the education is going to provide, what the road of life is going to bring, and those opportunities for jobs that might not even be thought of yet. For example, depending on how old you are, if you're maybe a Gen Xer, I think, no cell phones. Like no cell phones in the 80s. And so a job in the cell phone industry wasn't even thought of, right? But then all of a sudden cell phone technology came out and now you could get a job at the cell phone company or a cell phone repair. So the whole idea of cell phone, computers, you know, computers are everything now. In fact, the computers in our pocket on our cell phone, far more advanced than maybe the Commodore 64 or the Apple IIe or whatever you had back then. And so that, and you never know what the future is going to hold with technology. But by having a degree and being prepared and ready, it could expand your opportunities. It can prepare you for the future. Preparing you for the future could be something as simple as learning time management. I've got to study. I've got to turn in my assignments. I've got to keep track of deadlines. I got to enjoy a social life. Maybe if you're a little bit older, you have a family. Maybe you have a job. So time management, balancing responsibilities, meeting a deadline, turning in professional work, following examples or following the rules, all this can prepare you for the future. Another thing a college education can do is build new relationships, especially if you are on campus or in a classroom type environment. You can meet different people. You can network. Maybe connect with people that are like-minded in a business field or a career field, and you stay in touch, and maybe those open opportunities. A lot of businesses, a lot of fields are who you know. Think of politics. Politics is all about who you know. Radio is all about who you know. Education, yeah, you can get in on education based on your merits, your academics, your resume. But then at some point, to get ahead, it's about who you know, knowing people. I know all kinds of people that advanced in their careers because of people that they've known. The other thing, too, is that it helps achieve your personal goals. The personal goals might be whatever your personal goals are. Maybe it's to feel more confident when you're out in public. Maybe it's to be able to speak better with more intelligence. Maybe it's learning to be a critical thinker. Maybe it's a better writer. Whatever your personal goals might be in life, college academics can help you get there because there are a lot of requirements that can push you in areas of self-development, in self-growth, in growth mindset, all those things. And that just makes a difference in life because a lot of times the people that run the businesses are college educated. The people that are maybe educating the next generation. I mean, I think of all the first year or first generation college students that I've taught over the course of the past 10 years or so. It's the first people in their family. They're immigrants from another country and they're first time college students. Yeah, that's quite an honor to be able to teach them. But then you're also able to give back through donations to charitable organizations and volunteer and more likely to vote and help other people. So going to college can make a huge difference in a person's life. Not only more money and increased employment opportunities, but expanding opportunities that you might not even know are out there yet. You're actually preparing for the future. You're meeting new people and having that influence, maybe that positive influence, building those support group, a professional support group of people around you, like we always talk about. You're achieving your personal goals and eventually you're making a difference. But the main thing that college can really do and why I think it's important, and especially if you have the opportunity to go away to college, maybe at least for a year. I've known many, many students that went away to college out of high school. Maybe it was just for a year. Maybe it was all 4 years. But they went away because it changes you. It gives you more responsibility. You have to figure out life. You have to make it or break it kind of on your own, but in a safer environment like on a college campus. And so you can grow and you can expand yourself. You can kind of find who you are, as they say. But here's Jordan Peterson, and this is really what an education can do for you.
No one ever tells students why they should write something. It's like, well, you have to do this assignment. Well, why are you writing? Well, you need the grade. It's like, no, you need to learn to think. Because thinking makes you act effectively in the world. Thinking makes you win the battles you undertake. And those could be battles for good things. If you can think and speak and write, you are absolutely deadly. Nothing can get in your way. So that's why you learn to write. It's like, well, I can't believe that people aren't just told that. It's the most powerful weapon you could possibly provide someone with. And I know lots of people who've been staggeringly successful and watched them throughout my life. I mean, those people, you don't want to have an argument with them. They'll just slash you into pieces. And not in a malevolent way. It's like, if you're going to make your point and they're going to make their point, you better have your points organized. Because otherwise, you are going to look like and be an absolute idiot. You are not going to get anywhere. And if you can formulate your arguments coherently, and make a presentation, if you can speak to people, if you can lay out a proposal, God, people give you money, they give you opportunities, you have influence.
The ability to think, to speak, to write. If you can do that, you're unstoppable. A powerful weapon to be able to think, speak, and write. I mean, look at social media and all the dumbness that is presented on social media. People can't write. They can't think. Every inane thought that comes across their brain, they put down there and they think it's a good thing. Tried to have a conversation on social media with somebody and you're kind of pontificating this Caitlin Clark versus Pete Maravich thing. The guy was completely unimaginable in his conversation, so much so that I just deleted my whole content off of that thread because it was just dumb. There was no engagement. So just because you think you know something, just because you think it's up here, you might not be able to get it out in a coherent way. And in the professional world, the business world, the education, the hospitals, the lawyer, the courtroom, could you imagine, for example, there was that court case or whatever it's called going on in Georgia about Fannie Willis, however they pronounce her name, whether or not she should be a part of that Trump prosecution. And I guess they were having some closing arguments, and the closing arguments for the prosecutor, which is defending Fannie Willis, I guess like spoke horribly. Like, I guess he was criticized all over social media by the way he spoke. And people were hugely unimpressed with him. And it was so bad that some people were saying that Fannie Willis was trying to get up there and wanted to give the closing arguments herself because this guy sounded like a buffoon. He was stumbling and bumbling and pausing and couldn't have that cadence and that flow in his communication with the judge. And it was really bad, apparently. And this is a lawyer. And I'm not a lawyer. I don't keep up with law and watch these cases. I didn't even watch the O.J. Simpson case. I just wait for the end result, and then that's it. But apparently it was so bad, and this lawyer in the DA's office trying to defend his boss apparently spoke so bad that it made trending news on social media, people commenting and just crushing this guy as being terrible. So again, being able to think, being able to speak, being able to write. If you can write proposals, grants, if you can get money, it's all about the Benjamins these days, right? If you're in education and you can write a grant, they'll get money at you. If you're going to college and you need scholarships and you can write a grant. So you have to be able to think, speak, write. You become unstoppable. That leads to critical thinking. If you think about it, you got to think critically. You know, in this day and age of social media and uneducated people, whatever they take in, they just, that's it. Whatever somebody tells you, that's it. CNN tells you this. I saw it on X. Saw it on social media. It must be true, right? So how can you become a critical thinker? How can you learn to think, speak, and write? Well, with speaking and writing, you have to practice, obviously. And that's why nobody wants to sit down and put a report together, right? Who wants to sit down and put a 20-page term paper together? Nobody. Who wants to do footnotes and APA style or MLA? Nobody. I don't even know why we do MLA and APA anymore. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world. However, it teaches you processing. It teaches you to learn something. It teaches you to follow formatting, follow rules, follow examples. So there's a lot more to it than just putting it into your paper. It prepares you to be detail-orientated, to notice and to be able to present a logical thought, present your ideas and back them up with supporting evidence. And in this day and age, if you're going to talk politics, there's a lot of people out there that just spew crap. How about that 9-0 Supreme Court ruling in favor of Donald Trump? And you go to social media and every idiot out there has something to say bad about the Supreme Court not defending the Constitution. Seriously? You obviously don't know what you're talking about. You're not educated. And then the way they try to get their point across, unintelligible. No thought process, no logic, no reason. And so it does make a difference. Think, speak, write. Extremely important in this world if you want to be impressive, if you want to be unstoppable. Imagine wanting to own your own business. You go to the bank. You have to put it on paper, obviously, your loan applications and stuff. But what about trying to convince somebody to invest in you? Ever watch Shark Tank? I was watching Shark Tank the other day. Don't know why it came on, but the presentation was so bad that the sharks, Mark Cuban and the others, basically told them, dude, your presentation is terrible. I wouldn't invest in you just because of your presentation. Now, granted, it's TV, so scripted, not scripted, you can argue that. But they were literally telling them that their pitch, hey, invest in me. I want $100,000 and I'll give you 10% of my business. Here's my business. And they're like, dude, I want nothing to do with you because your pitch was terrible. Think, speak, write. So how can you become better at critical thinking? Well, the first thing you should do is always check the information with a cautious eye. Vet the information you're presented with. Maybe some questions to ask might be, is this evidence complete or this information complete? Is it up to date? You can Google search something and it'll bring up all kinds of information, but then the date is 2016, 2012. I was in a PhD class not too long ago. I did start a program, but then I opted not to continue for various reasons. But I was in one, and it was about technology in the classroom. And the textbook for the class was 10 years old. So I sent a note to the professor saying, dude, why are we studying a textbook 10 years old about technology? Obviously, the response was unfavorable. But why are we studying something that's 10 years old when it comes to technology in the classroom? Is the information complete? Is it up to date? Is the evidence that is being presented, is it supported by facts? Can you support the argument? A lot of people can't. A lot of people think they can, but they can't. They're just spewing out opinion. They couldn't go and footnote their argument with any sort of evidence to back up their claim. Because there is a difference between fact and opinion. Opinion is something that you just think. A fact is something that can be verified, like legitimately verified. The other thing you can do if you want to become a more critical thinker and help in that think, speak, write, becoming unstoppable with your powerful weapon is to look at where the information comes. Is the source trustworthy? And what's their motivation for presenting this information? For example, if you look at The View, no credibility. They just hate Trump, hate Christians, hate anything to do with conservatism. So why would I think anything they say is of value? CNN, MSNBC, Joy Reid. Again, why would I think of anything credible? Yahoo lists, if you go down the Yahoo main page, it lists news stories, and there'll be different headlines. I can tell you right now which ones I'm going to read and not read just based on what site they're from. Huffington Post? Nope. HuffPost gone. Salon gone. Slate gone. I'm going to spend my time wasting it because I know that their information is going to be biased, probably not fact-checked, more opinion. So why waste my time? So if I'm truly looking for factual, actual information so that I can become a better thinker, so that I can become a better speaker, a better writer, be able to present my ideas in a professional manner, then I'm going to consider where that information comes from. I'm going to look at it to see if there's more than one point of view. Because a lot of times we look at one thing, one point of view, but are there other sides to the story? I say all the time, there's not a one-size-fits-all problem. I mean, a one-size-fits-all, well, there's not a one-size-fits-all problem, but a one-size-fits-all solution to problems. Look at anything, and you have to look at it through multiple perspectives. I say that all the time. And so you have to look at the point of view. So if you want to be educated in your conversation about something, whether it be politics, whether it be something in your profession, whether it be just a conversation at the bar, and you want to be impressive in that, then you want to be able to look at it from all sides and then be able to present your information based on more than one point of view. The biggest thing, and this is what I do. People often ask me why. I know a lot. I don't know if I know a lot, but I listen. I take an active listening approach to when people talk. I don't just hear. I listen. What are they saying? And then I run through some questions. What's their point of view? Why are they telling me this? What are they going through? What if I was in their shoes? I start asking myself a bunch of questions. And so you have to listen carefully to what others are telling you. Try to build a perspective from their point of view. Doesn't mean you have to accept that point of view or take on that opinion or that belief, but you can listen to them. Maybe have a little bit of empathy, putting yourself in their shoes so that you understand where they're coming from. Maybe you try to listen without judgment. Because again, this is about critical thinking. This is about trying to understand the bigger picture, maybe. Again, you don't have to accept it in the end. There's a lot of times, Ramadan is coming up as of this conversation right now. It's coming up really, really, really soon. I'll talk to people about Ramadan and about the Muslim faith all the time. And I engage in conversation with them. But my personal belief and my personal choices, I will never become a Muslim. That's just my choice. But I love engaging in conversation with them because I find their commitment to their beliefs and their commitment to their religion and what they have to do, I find it an amazing commitment. You have to sit there and pray and then fast. That's commitment, what they have to go through. But I listen. I don't just judge. Your religion's bad. Your religion's wrong. I'm listening. Gathering information. Is there gaps in the information? Is there gaps in the data? Do I need to do my own research? You know, in the scientific method, in the scientific world, you have a hypothesis, right? You think that, okay, if I, let's say, just say plants need sunlight to grow. That's my hypothesis. Well, then you're going to go do some research. You're going to investigate some things. Then you're going to create an experiment. And then you're going to, after the experiment's done, you're going to collect the data. And then you're going to interpret the data, see what happens, and then you share the data. But research is done. And that's what we need to do. We need to research the information that's being talked. After having a conversation with somebody at Ramadan, I went in and looked it up some more. Tried to inquire some more. And as an instructor, sometimes I'll be in a high school, sometimes middle school, sometimes college. I have to understand and realize that at middle school, for example, there could be some young Muslim kids in Ramadan that aren't eating lunch. Or they have to get up and leave and go pray. Prayer time. I have to understand that so that I know that maybe this is why they are a certain way. Why is this kid just up and leaving? Instead of shouting him down in the hallway, get back in the class, I understand that his faith is requiring him to leave. But you got to do some information. You got to gather. Maybe ask a lot of questions. I love asking questions because it's curiosity. They say curiosity killed the cat, but actually curiosity is key to critical thinking. The who, what, when, where, why, how. Who, what, when, where, why, how. Some questions that you can ask. Hey, why do you believe that? What do you do to prepare for Ramadan? How do you get through 14 hours of fasting? What can be done if you get hungry? Just an example to continue on with that train of thought. But yeah, ask questions. Try to find out more information. The more you know. I deal with a lot of students from international students from other countries. I love talking to them about where they're from, what their country is like. It's just curiosity, but it helps you have an understanding for international students. So ask questions. What if it's a toughie like abortion or LGBTQ, LMNOP? Ask them questions. To judge them. You might not believe in that lifestyle or what they're doing, but maybe inquire about them. Maybe just ask questions why they think that way, why they feel that way, why they support something like that. Would they ever do it? And you find out more information. There's a lot of things that from a, let's say, politics level, if you want to go that, policy level, a political policy level, a lot of things that I would not support. However, that's on a national level, like a platform, okay? However, when it comes people to people, I'm still not going to support or be in favor of what you do, but I will be in support and in, I don't know if favor is the right word, but I will be in support of who you are. And a lot of people can't determine the difference between the two. They can't realize the difference between the two because there is a difference. On a platform level, immigration, for example, we are completely being invaded at the southern border, and that is leading to all kinds of problems. California, just read a news article the other day from an independent news source in California that said that Chinese immigrants are being flooded into the southern border. Somebody is buying a property in California, like acreage property in Northern California, and pot farms, marijuana farms are being sprung up. And these immigrants are forced labor into running these pot farms, and some Chinese company somewhere is making a boatload of money, billions of dollars. Law enforcement's trying to shut them down, but they just keep popping up over and over. You've got trafficking of Chinese nationals, forced labor, slavery. You've got, I guess California, it's legal, right? For pot farms and stuff. I don't know. Oklahoma. I know it's legal in Oklahoma to grow it. Same thing's going on in Oklahoma too, because the states where it's legal, you have this criminal element utilizing the legal system. And of course, California doesn't prosecute anybody either. But again, the point is that on a national level, immigration, yeah, close the border. We need to stop that. It's becoming problematic. But as an immigrant in this country, I'm not going to shout them down. I'm not going to attack them. I'm going to try to support them as best I can. So it's two different things. And a lot of people can't understand that. But it goes back to think, speak, write, education, I've educated myself not only academically at colleges and universities, but I've educated myself on the topic. And that's where self-education can come in. Educate yourself on immigration. Educate yourself on the plight of these people and where they're coming from. Educate yourself on outside of the news media. Do research. There's a lot of academic research you can do. The problem is that you're probably lazy and don't want to put in the effort, and you're just going to go with whatever CNN, MSNBC, Fox News tells you. But do the research, dig deeper, and you'll realize, talk to people, and you'll realize. If you talk to people, you can realize that there's more to the story than what meets the eye on the news headlines. Because the news headlines are there to get you to watch. That's all they care about, is viewership, clicks on the website. But if you are sitting there and you're gathering information and you're filling in the gaps and you're asking open-ended questions about people or to people, you're vetting that information. Where's it coming from? CNN or somebody that actually just came across the border? What's the point of view? Oh, immigration, bad, bad, bad. Okay, yeah, but what about the immigrant that came from North Korea? North Korea is a terrible place. So again, you do have to look at things through a different perspective, and that leads to critical thinking. And then you have to listen to all these people, and then you can make an informed decision. And then find your own sources of information. I never look at, like, for example, Google News. No. Yahoo News. No. I never look at those sites that just put whatever news articles up there. I go to my specific news, and a lot of them are off news sites. Like, if I told you, you may not know. I don't want to tell you because I'm just not into that right now, because that's not what we're talking about. But find your own reputable sources of information. It could be news sites, but find reputable ones. Nonprofit organizations, educational institutes. Okay, I'll tell you one I learned a long time ago was the Christian Science Monitor. I picked that up back in college. We had to subscribe to it. And back then you had to pay, which sucked. Because I was a broke college student, I had to pay $10 a month for the Christian Science Monitor. But anyways, it was a independent news site back then. I don't really follow it too much today, but it will be a source that I go to. Or maybe I go to the London Times, or maybe the UK Telegraph, or some overseas websites, okay, news organizations. Because I don't want to just depend on what America's view of things are. I want to see what the world is thinking. Maybe I watch BBC World, where the newscaster or the presenter is in London, or maybe India, or some other country, and you can see what the perspective is from there. So again, I'm finding reputable sources of information outside of my realm and trying to gather the nuggets that they're putting out there. But again, you want to be reliable sources, whatever it might be. Do not solely rely on information or news from social media. Social media is full of crap, period. Even if it has a check mark verified, even if fact checkers say it's true, it's not. You want to make sure, and a lot of people, when I post something, I know it's verified as far as factual information because I've looked it up. Okay? I'll post something, someone will call me out on it, and I'll be like, dude, go check your facts. For example, most recently, I posted something about the Washington Redskins football helmet. And the Washington Redskins football helmet was created by an artist in the Blackfeet Indian tribe. And it was a tribute to one of their, maybe a chief, a warrior, you know, somebody of prominence in their tribe. And so I posted this information and I started getting called out. Okay, you have no idea. You didn't do the research. You didn't look. You listened to whatever woke organization, and that's what you spewed. You did not realize that this was actually a tribute, or the fact that the Florida State University and their whole Seminole kind of Native American Indian persona they have going on is in direct partnership with the Seminole tribe. Okay, you start to learn these things when you do your own investigation, when you look for your own reliable resources, when you don't look on social media. So I know every time I'm posting something, it's factual, it's correct, because it's been 2-3 sources. That's the first thing you learn in broadcasting school journalism is more than one source, two, three sources, and make sure they're factual. Make sure that it matches. And if it doesn't, don't use the information. But do not get your news from social media alone. You have to learn to spot fake news. There's a lot of times I see fake news on social media and I just, of course, jump over it, but I can spot it. Because if you're finding other sources of credibility and you're learning from other people and you're asking the questions of other people and you're going through all these things we're talking about, then you know what's going to be true and not true. So you want to learn to spot the fake news. You can do that by looking at the emotion, the tone, the type of language. Are there facts and figures, quotes? You know, are there quotes from experts? Are there facts, statistics? What's the source of those statistics? How many times have you seen a poll, so-and-so up by this or so-and-so up by that? And that's never the case because the polling might be catered to a specific group of people. And then after all this, you want to form your own opinion. And it's okay to have your own opinion. But if your opinion is based in facts, if your opinion is based in evidence, if you can back up what you're saying with this source and this source, then yeah, you're good to go. But if you're just listening to Joy Behar or Joy Reid or any of those other Joys out there, chances are your information is going to be biased. Same on the other side. Might be biased. So you want to be able to vet the information, know where it's coming from. Is the information complete? Is it up to date? So again, if you want to become a critical thinker and you want to work on your critical thinking skills, always vet new information. Is the information complete? Is it up to date? Where does the information come from? Does it come from a trustworthy source? What's their motivation for presenting it? Obviously, you want to consider more than one point of view. Look at it from all sides, all angles. Get the information from the inside, from the outside, from people that might not even care. Maybe they're just on the periphery. Practice active listening. Listen carefully to what people are telling you. Be open to what they're saying. Try to understand from their perspective, in their shoes. Maybe you gather information that's in addition to what you've been told, what you've read. Maybe doing a little bit of a research. Fill in those gaps. Ask questions. You can ask who, what, when, where, why, how questions if you need a place to start. But ask questions. That's how kids, little children, why? You know, they get to that point where they're always asking why because they're thirsty for knowledge. Be thirsty for knowledge. Obtain that information and make sure it's a reputable source of information. That could be news sites. It could be nonprofit organizations, educational institutions. There are some liberal pundits, as they call them, on conservative shows that I listen to. I value their opinion. I may not always agree with it, but there are some that I value their opinion. There's conservatives that I think are just complete idiots. So it goes both ways. There's some people that might be on the left, as they say, that I value what they say and I want to hear what they say. There's people on the right, as they say, that I just don't care about. I'm not going to listen to. Okay? So I like to look at both sides. But I have my own opinions, have my own thoughts, my own beliefs, my own ideology. But I'll listen to both sides and maybe sometimes I might be enlightened and learn something. Do not get your news from social media. And if you do, check the source. And I don't mean verified check. I mean check the source. Investigate who they are. Learn to spot fake news. What's their language? What's their emotion? What's the tone of the piece? Are there facts, figures, images, quotes? Does it state the source? Look out for biased information. There's a difference between opinion and fact. Opinion is just what you believe. Fact is something that can be verified with proof, with evidence from outside sources. And then after all this, think it over and then form your own opinion. Maybe your opinion agrees with others. Maybe your opinion is a little bit more independent on your own, but form your own opinion. Now, when you get out there, now you can speak with authority, speak with intelligence. You can write with authority. You can write with intelligence. You can have confidence in your beliefs. You can have confidence in what you're putting out there in the public sphere and know that this is where it came from. And when someone challenges you, you have the ability to push back because you know where it comes from. And now you're becoming a critical thinker. Have you ever been peer pressured into something? Maybe peer pressured into believing something, voting a certain way, doing something maybe you didn't want to do, or maybe you're peer pressured into a good thing. Get on stage and sing. You're a good singer. Hey, you would be good at doing this job. You should apply for it. But when it comes down to it, what exactly is peer pressure?
So peer pressure is being pushed to make a decision, whether right or wrong, by one's peers. Simple as that. And peer pressure can be good, can be positive, like encouraging someone to audition for a school play or to try out for a sports team. And it can be negative as well. We often think about peer pressure in a negative way because of the word pressure, the pressure to conform, the pressure to engage in risky behaviors. And peer pressure can be explicit, like asking someone to experiment with drugs or alcohol, or it can be implicit, like feeling pressure to have sex because of this sort of unspoken expectation or because of the sense that everybody's doing it.
So have you been peer pressured? Do you feel peer pressured at work, at home, in your community? It's not just for kids, adults. I know a lot of adults that have been peer pressured into thinking a certain way, doing something, attending something. So when it comes to peer pressure, what is it? How can we overcome it? What are the things behind peer pressure and peer pressureism? Well, the first thing you look at is identity. A lot of times people want to be a part of a group, want to be on the in crowd, and so they might put their beliefs aside or their convictions aside and do something they don't want to do to be a part of the group. In Hollywood, you read a lot of stories of celebrities that admitted that Hollywood might be full of conservatives a lot more than we think, but they'd rather have the lifestyle of a celebrity and an actor, and so they suppress their beliefs and ideology so that they can stay with the in crowd of Hollywood, and so they go along with some of the stuff that Hollywood tells you you have to go along with. But succumbing to peer pressure may result in you compromising your values, your interests, your identity, so that you can fit into a particular group. Just the facts. That's what it's all about. So how can you avoid that? How can you avoid losing your identity, giving up whatever you believe, your convictions, your ideology, your values, to be able to do something? First of all, it takes a very strong person and a strong character. But you got to know yourself. You have to understand your values, your goals, and your boundaries, and know that they are essential. Because if you have a strong sense for self, self-worth, self-value, the chances of you succumbing to peer pressure drop. Now, I've been fortunate enough for some reason throughout my life to have enough self-confidence, self-awareness to never really succumb to peer pressure. Not the bad kind. You know, good peer pressure. Hey, you want to go on a roller coaster ride? No, I don't want to. Come on, let's go, let's go. Okay, maybe that's peer pressure and you give in and then you go on the roller coaster ride even though you really didn't want to. Okay, just a simple example. But yeah, so we all give in to the peer pressure at a certain time. But when it comes to some of the more important things, you got to know yourself. What do you believe? Why do you believe that? Are you going to stand firm in that belief? Is your belief correct? Maybe being persuaded to something other than what you believe could be a good thing at times. But again, you got to know yourself. You got to realize, is there conflict in relationships? If you give in to peer pressure, how's that affecting your relationships with your family, your friends, other people? Maybe you make choices that other people disapprove of. I know a lot of people are accepting of marijuana, and it's becoming more and more prominent, accepted, not as negative as it once was, although I still believe that the end result is bad and that nothing good comes from it, but I'm becoming more and more in the minority. But that's okay. I'm fine with that. But the choices that you make, are you isolating other people? Maybe it's a relationship that you're in. Maybe it's a job that you're in. Whatever it might be, is it causing conflict in your relationships with other people? How about, we always talk about, and I mentioned it earlier, your support group, right? You need a support group around you. And sometimes, a lot of times, that support group is your friends. So are you surrounding yourself with friends who respect your choices and support you? Because again, positive peer influences can help you resist that negative peer pressure. That's the hardest thing, I think, in high school, or maybe just in general, but I think the high school age, is that other people don't respect what you think. When you find somebody that is in complete opposite of you and they respect your values, they respect you, that's pretty impressive. Like, for example, okay, here's one example. So I was working for a guy in college, and we would DJ parties and weddings and stuff. And he was older than me by about 10 years, and he liked to drink. And I was 21, 22, so, you know, I would drink too. Not excessively, because we obviously had a job to do, but at the parties, you know, we'd have a drink or two. And so at one point then I decided, you know what, I just don't want to drink anymore, because I don't know what the reasons were. I just didn't want to. And so I told him when he'd come up, he'd say, hey, you want a drink? I'll grab us a drink. I'd be like, no, I'm good. Maybe a soda or something. He didn't even question it. He just, okay, fine. And that was it. After a couple of parties we worked together, he'd offer, and then he realized that, you know, I just wasn't into it anymore. And so he stopped asking about the drink of alcohol and said, what, you want a soda, whatever. So he just respected it and didn't even ask. And I thought that was impressive, because he didn't try to, hey, come on, let's drink together because it's more fun. And yeah, it was a lot of fun when, you know, you've had a beer or two and you're at a party. Everything's great, right? But he respected the fact that for whatever reason, he didn't even ask, but for whatever reason, I just decided not to drink at the parties anymore, because I was working, but he was the boss. So it was okay. I mean, that's the other thing. He was the boss. So of course it would have been okay if he's asking, right? But I just stopped, didn't want to do it anymore. And I can't even remember, to be honest, why. I just remember that. But I remember him saying, okay, want a soda? Here's a soda. Not even questioning why. And I thought that was fascinating. And a life lesson that I learned is that it's okay. So we need to choose our friends wisely. Put those people around us that are going to respect our boundaries, respect what we believe in, respect us. Maybe we need to practice assertiveness and say no. That's just a good thing to learn altogether. But especially in peer pressure, you want to do something? No. And in relationships, you know, no means no, right? Say no. In fact, I was looking through some research for peer pressure, and there's all kinds of stuff out there. A lot of it not so good, but there was a man on the street type of interview with a bunch of kids, high school, I think. And I thought about playing it, but it just doesn't add value. But here's the one thing that it did touch on, because they asked them, do you feel like you're peer pressured? And it was no, 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 no. And then eventually it was like, well, only in this case, like doing good things. Like I got friends, you know, they want me to sing, so I would do good peer pressure stuff. And then it got into relationships. And then it really changed into the sexualized relationship, that a lot of girls felt pressured into sexual relationships to fit in, whether it be their friends doing it, so they want you to do it so they can all do it together, or the relationship, the boy wanting to peer pressure the girl into having sex. So that was the one area that a lot of peer pressure was felt by young kids. Say no, be adamant in that no. No, I'm not doing it. And then if you surround yourself with wise, friendly people, then they're going to respect that. But be assertive, say no. With anything we do, have an exit strategy. You know, plan ahead. If you're going to encounter peer pressure, how can I get out of it? Have an excuse ready. Have something ready. You know, nowadays with cell phone technology, if you're in a situation, you can always just excuse yourself to the bathroom, text a friend, hey, call me in 5 minutes, tell me you need me. You go back out there, phone rings, hey guys, I got to go, my friend needs me. There's a lot of ways that you can get out of something nowadays, but have an exit strategy, plan ahead. See, we talked about education a little bit ago, right? So we can think, we can speak, we can write, critical thinking, powerful tool, we're unstoppable. It goes with this too. If we're educated and we're thinking ahead of time, we have an exit strategy. Maybe we don't put ourselves in that situation to begin with, but we have an exit strategy. We're thinking ahead. We're considering the consequences. This is probably the one of the biggest things that I do in life is I think ahead. I don't know why I do it. Sometimes it sucks because it kills my fun, kills my buzz, but I'll think ahead of the consequences of whatever I'm doing, the long term, the short term. And then I'll be like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And that might have been the consequence or the thought process back with the partying, going to the DJ, you know, partying, the DJing the parties and the weddings is what I'm trying to say. Of not doing it was maybe the consequences of maybe getting pulled over, even though I'm sober, but you know, they still don't give them a reason to pull you over or to give you a DUI type of thing. But thinking ahead of the consequences, what's the big picture? What's the little picture? How's it going to affect everybody involved? How's it going to affect other people in my life? Okay. So these are some things that we can do to kind of avoid peer pressure, build confidence in yourself, work on your self-esteem, validate yourself, avoid risky behavior. You know, don't let peer pressure get you into risky behavior situations like DUI, reckless driving, speeding. That's one of the things when you first learn to drive, you know, it's your friends telling you go faster, or put you in some situation that's unsafe. No, I'm going to drive appropriately. And it can go on and on. You know, you want to take a look at health risks. You know, these young ladies were talked about how men would, the boys or their boyfriends, whatever. Again, these were teenage kids, would pressure them into wanting to do sexual activity. What are the ramifications of that? Pregnancy, disease. There could be other risks involved if you engage in something, DUI, loss of job. Cheating, academic death, legal issues, long-term consequences that you might not even be aware of, maybe a negative impact on your mental health. So succumbing to peer pressure can have a lot of different consequences, but it basically comes down to losing yourself because now you have given up yourself to be a part of this group's identity, and you don't want to do that. So know yourself, choose your friends wisely, practice assertiveness in saying, no, I don't want to do it, and stand your ground. Maybe have an exit strategy. Think ahead what are the consequences of some of these things that are going on. You know, find a support group. I think there was, it's not a joke, but I don't know if it was a meme at one time or whatever it was, but it was this idea that when you go out on the first date, the girl's friends are somewhere in the restaurant spying on you to make sure they're okay. But you're thinking ahead. You're having a plan, an exit strategy in case things go bad. Don't put yourself in certain situations. Think of the consequences. But then you can also build confidence in yourself, knowing who you are, what you want. Just because everyone else says, do it, do it, do it, you're like, no, I don't want to. And you're fine with that. That's building strong character. And again, it goes back to educating yourself. Learn about the risks and consequences associated with certain behaviors. Substance abuse. I've had people offer me marijuana a lot. No, I've never done any marijuana. I've never done any drug. I've been offered drugs. Never done it. Didn't want to. Because the long-term risk, the short-term risk, the consequences, nothing positive comes from it. So don't do drugs. Because it has a negative impact on my life, plain and simple. And so I don't do it. But again, that's me knowing myself. That's me being confident. That's me being assertive. That's me knowing who I am. And if you do that, then you can avoid the pressures of your peers. Finally, if you are being pressured by your peers, you probably need to get new peers. because your peers should not be pressuring you into doing anything that's going to adversely affect your life. Period. Now, your peers might pressure you into doing things that are going to be beneficial for your life. Apply for the job. You should go on stage and sing a karaoke because you're great at it. Learn an instrument. Be a parent. Maybe date this person. Apply for this job. Whatever it might be, they might be putting pressure on you and pushing you to do something that's going to better your life. But if peers are pressuring you to do something that's going to adversely affect your life, then you need to look at your peers and find new peeps to hang out with. And that's just a fact. This is Two Steps Ahead Podcast, encouraging you to take your passion, make it happen, let yourself be great. I'm Son Edom. Our website, RadioWarp.com. That's radio, W-A-R-P, RadioWarp.com. Lots of things on there. You can click on the show logo and all of our podcast episodes pop up. You've got video. You can click the video and watch the shows. There's also a Rumble page that will take you to shows, past shows as well. There's an orange banner that goes across kind of the center of the page. That's our SoundCloud page, our audio version. You can click on that, takes you to our SoundCloud page. You can download episodes, take them with you on the go. So our website, RadioWarp.com, W-A-R-P, RadioWarp.com. You can also listen live. Got a live streaming station with some podcasts, some music, some good stuff. So lots of good things on RadioWarp.com. Social media, TWO, Two Steps Ahead Podcast, Instagram, Facebook. Check us out. You can Instagram, DM me if you need to. You can check out our shows and content there. Our email, twostepsaheadpodcast@gmail.com. And again, two is TWO. Twostepsaheadpodcast@gmail.com. Reach out. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know what your thoughts are on the show. Let me know if you need help, assistance, need to get in contact with people. Whatever it might be, just know that I'm a resource. I'm a source that you can reach out to. If you need someone to listen, someone to vent, questions about peer pressure, education. I think I should go into a career of academic advisement because I seem to do it a lot. But anything like that, reach out and let me know, because there's always somebody. I don't want you to think that nobody is there. That should never be a thought, because I'm there. Twostepsaheadpodcast@gmail.com. Instagram DMs, Two Steps Ahead Podcast. Facebook, Two Steps Ahead Podcast. My personal page, Edom Rocks, E-I-D-E-M, R-O-C-K-S on Instagram. I'm easy to find. You can also do an internet search of Two Steps Ahead Podcast, and everything pops up there as well. And listen to the show anywhere you listen to podcasts, so easy to find. So as you move forward, educate yourself, whether it be book smarts, street smarts, whatever. Educate yourself. Become better critical thinkers, because the more critical thinking you do, the more educating you do, the better speaker, the better writer, the better thinker you become. You become a powerful weapon, and that powerful weapon is unstoppable. Again, Two Steps Ahead Podcast. I'm Son Edom. Hey, thanks for listening. Do tell a friend. And until next time, God bless.